two accountants are in a bank when it falls victim to a group of armed robbers. The patrons of the bank are immediately gathered up into a small group so that they cannot alert the authorities. As the robbers go about their business of robbing the bank, the group is asked to empty out their pockets and take off all their jewelry and watches. As this is happening, one of the accountants jams something into the hand of his business partner accountant. The man looks down and says, "What is this?" And the first accountant replies, "It's that $800 I owe you." Well, technically he did pay back his partner, that the payment would be stolen by the bank robbers in only a matter of 2 seconds hence. Well, that was just the bad luck of the second accountant. But as we can see, technically doesn't actually cut it here, does it? For in the final analysis, the second accountant is still out the $800 he originally lent to the first accountant. In a way, though, it sort of illustrates what Solomon was getting at in Ecclesiastes 9. In this world, it often seems incomprehensible how too many times good people suffer evil and evil people seem rewarded with this world's wealth. But upon only a little serious study of the Bible, we can discern here the fallacy of Solomon's judgment. Here his vaunted wisdom is hamstrung by a severely limited perspective. Unlike his godly father, King David, Solomon lacks deep knowledge of God, God's character, and kingdom. And so we're left here with an entirely accurate description of the way this fallen evil world operates. It requires us to study more teachings from the Bible to discover why this is. In a similar vein, many people with a similarly myopic view of life asked why God miraculously saved President Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania in July 2024, while allowing another assassin's bullet to extinguish the life of a young, exemplary Christian man. To them, it doesn't make sense, for God seems capricious, fickle, unreliable, even malicious. Others, too, have expressed thoughts on social media feeds, alleging that God is definitely not all he claims to be, since he was apparently utterly unable to prevent Charlie Kirk's murder. Still others assert that Kirk absolutely deserved to die, for he was a depraved man, filled with hate and malice toward all those who disagreed with him. But God, yes, God, those who actually know their God, the one and only living God, the creator of all that exists, know that he has given all people free will. People are as free to obey God as they are free to disobey. God did not create a race of automatons, robots who cannot act outside their programming. Love does not do such a thing. For love is the ultimate liberty. Love moves us to do extraordinary, unimaginable things, like self-sacrifice for others' benefit. For love can never be forced. Force is the very antithesis of love. Love is freedom. Freedom is love. But lest there be misunderstanding, the freedom woke liberals espouse is not freedom at all. It is lawlessness, licentiousness, narcissism that seeks only its own gratification. It is an exact picture of Satan. Yeah. Tyler Robinson and his deep state accomplices may well have mixed motives, even mixed emotions, over their murder of Kirk. But unless they welcome a life exchange offered by the same Father God in Christ, their destiny in life will be eternal death in the same place as the devil their chosen deity. Which is why Kirk's death truly is marking a turning point in America and even the world. With his memorial funeral services in Arizona beginning even as we speak, we can be assured that it will be a service of worship to God in Christ Jesus. Though we aren't there, many tens of thousands of people will be in that stadium, and millions more will see it via streaming or by watching recordings. How many funerals do you recall that took place in a full-size sports stadium? I can't recall even one. For though Charlie Kirk was one man, a husband, a father, a leader, a Christian, devoted follower of King Jesus, this evil world has overplayed its hand, for it doesn't have any other moves. Just like it did on Golgotha, crucifying Christ was the ultimate solution to getting him to shut up permanently. Except we all know how that turned out. And likewise, it is already happening with Charlie Kirk. Within hours of his death, over 18,000 requests to establish new chapters came in to Turning Point. More donations have poured into Turning Point than in all history. It's quickly becoming evident that America's third great awakening is about to explode on the scenes. It'll be America's final awakening because King Jesus will soon return. The final 7 years of the tribulation will soon commence, just as the book of Revelation describes. Speaking of prophecy and prophets, some of you may have heard of one of the greatest of our very recent prophets. Kim Clement passed away in late 2016, aged 60. He is perhaps most famous for prophesying years before of the election of Donald Trump as president and that he would serve 2 terms. He had also prophesied that an assassination attempt against him would occur on a Saturday. Prior to that, he saw that the devil would do everything possible to put a witch in the White House. Both times, the devil's plans came to naught, as both Hillary and Kamala were defeated by Trump. He also saw the current revival in the White House. How beautiful it is to see every cabinet meeting opening with heartfelt, humble prayer to God in Christ. But there is another prophecy which speaks of these days in 2025. Clement saw a woman who would be like an Esther for America after a time of great tragedy. Erica Kirk is becoming today's American Esther in fulfillment of that prophecy. For as she addressed the nation in her first public speech, the transformation of a vulnerable, grieving widow and mother into a powerful leader was visible. She said, quote, "The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. They should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you have just unleashed across this entire country and the world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry." Unless we're not as familiar with the original Esther in the Bible as we should be, well, it just so happens we'll be seeing her story retold on screen downstairs next week. Another contemporary Christian leader, Amanda Grace, has been shown yet another consequence of Charlie Kirk's death. Perhaps it crossed some of your minds as well. Kirk has become modern America's first public Christian martyr, which should bring to our minds the first Christian martyr ever, the Jewish Stephen, proto-martyr. The account of his life and glorious death by stoning is in Acts 7. The sermon he gave after his arrest is one of the longest recorded in the Bible. When the authorities could no longer stand his unimpeachable biblical logic and truth, they just murdered him, just like Kirk. They didn't have bullets then. They had stones, and they used them. And helping the murderers, an accomplice, was an up-and-coming young elitist by the name of Saul. Well, we know much more about him after he started using his Greek name, Paul. Talk about an about-face. An encounter with His Majesty, Yeshua, Jesus, will do that. In a somewhat analogous situation these days is another youngish Jewish whippersnapper named Ben Shapiro. He is similar to Charlie Kirk, but without the enormous organization that Turning Point USA became, and which looks to explode even more under the new leadership of Erica Kirk. Ben Shapiro is an Orthodox Jew who recognizes and respects Christianity. He needs to become a Messianic Jew. That is, discovering that the Jewish Messiah has already come once and will very soon come again. So, prayers are very much in order for him and his family. His coming to faith in His Majesty Yeshua, Jesus, will shake the Jewish world globally. And this will be just another facet of this end times revival prophesied in America, the Third Great Awakening. Speaking of prayers, what are old Christians supposed to do now? Obviously, pray. Senior citizens are normally retired and are supposed to have a lot of free time. They're also supposed to have gained a lot of life experience over their many years, which should translate into some degree of wisdom, which it also should have led to more knowledge and insight into God, which should also intensify our love and desire for greater intimacy with our loving Savior and Father God. After all, we're soon going to meet Him for eternity. If we're too busy in life to spend meaningful time with the Holy Spirit of the Lord, then we're doing too many other things. If we're not young, then who's going to support the younger ones like Erica Kirk and Ben Shapiro, as well as Trump, Vance, Hawley, Hegseth, Patel, Bondi, Kehoe, and everyone else in prayer, to say nothing of our own families and each other in our body of Christ? This is how we confront this evil world. So let us pray. We thank You, Lord, for the time that You give us elders to pray. We thank You that we can pray for the salvation of all those of our loved ones, and particularly those beyond, like Ben Shapiro, who really need to come to You. For we can just imagine how great an influence he would become once he knows You and Your Holy Spirit. And so we thank You and praise You, Lord Jesus, for all You have done for us and for everyone. In Your name we pray. Amen.